Good morning. Well, here we are. A year's coming to an end, right? It's a time of year where we all start to, like Brett said, we start to sit down and ponder the year that we just had and take a look at what's happened and what's going forward in our lives. And so we come today to talk about that a little bit. It's been a year, like I said the other night in the Christmas Eve service, it's been a year of turmoil throughout this country and throughout the world. As I spoke of on Christmas Eve, we've talked about all year, we've heard about wars and the terrorism that's going on, and the shootings, the racial divide, and so much more. And these are the results of a world who needs Jesus. That's the bottom line. I spoke about peace on Christmas Eve, and Pastor Rick spoke about hope, and Pastor Ryan spoke about joy, and Pastor Jeff talked about love. We all want a world that is more peaceful, that has more hope, that has more joy, and has more love. But unfortunately, a lot of us look in all the wrong places to find those things. We spoke about those subjects at depth. Each of us did, Thursday evening. So I don't want to rehash all those, but the bottom line to all of it is the only way for peace, the only way for hope or joy or to have the love of God in our heart is through a relationship with Jesus. And I say that right off the bat this morning because it's something we need to know. We also need to know that the only kind of people that are going to experience these things are people of Christ. People, believers of Jesus Christ, people who have accepted him into their heart and who are trying to live a life that resembles a life of Jesus. You may say, well, okay, but what's that have to do with New Year's? We like to talk about New Year's resolutions, don't we? That's one thing that we like to discuss this time of year. Well, it has everything to do with New Year's. Our New Year's, as it starts this week, it needs to start with Christ in our lives. That's the very first place that we need to go and take a look and start there. That's priority one for all of us. But before I get into that, let's just take a moment and just kind of look at this whole topic of New Year's resolutions. You know, there's a lot of talk about it, and I'm sure that all of you who get the, how many of you get the La Porte Herald Argus? Man, they're hurting. Well, so then I don't know that if you've heard the story of Prepare for a Stronger, Happier New Year by Pam Henderson, and says, Ask the Divas. You haven't read that, I guess. So I don't know how you can go on with your new year. But I want to just share just a couple paragraphs of that. It says, In the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, I haven't yet paused long enough to write down my New Year's resolutions. No worries, though. Because tradition dictates that I'll get it done. I've amassed 19 years of revolutions. So she's got a lot of experience. And anyway, she says to spend more time with family, eat healthier, read more, pursue a new hobby, and polish my French. So after the clinging of the champagne glasses and the exchanging of the midnight kisses on December 31st, I'll join with 100 million Americans who also begin the new year with resolutions. And we'll be in good company with the 25 million Americans who will break their resolutions by January 8th. And the article goes on to talk about New Year's resolutions, and I won't bore you with the rest of it. But you know, New Year's is a time for reflection, and I've always enjoyed New Year's, personally. This is just my confession. I always enjoyed the very last week of the year for a lot of reasons. Christmas was the hustle and bustle. What we've made of Christmas is over, even though we shouldn't be making it that way because Christmas is about Christ. But the hustle and bustle of that season has stopped, and now we get ready to look at another year. And in the business world, it was always a good time because most everything kind of slowed down or shut down completely. And it gave you time to reflect and relax a little bit, maybe take some well-deserved time off, or maybe it just meant sitting down at your desk and looking at your calendar and saying, okay, what am I going to do different in the next year? And I'm a person who likes goals. I don't always keep those goals, but I've always enjoyed putting together goals and setting those things out and having challenges to meet the next year. But like you and like most Americans, a lot of those go by the wayside in a very short period of time. So making New Year's resolutions is not a bad thing. And I don't want you to hear that this morning, that you shouldn't do that. But that's not the point of the message today. But it is not a bad thing. It's always fun. I don't know about you, but I'm a member of a health club. I know you can't tell that. That's a well-kept secret, unless you see me there. But anyway, but it's always fun to be part of a health club and notice that in January, like January 2nd or 3rd, when you go to the health club, this place is going to be packed. Every treadmill will be taken up. All the people will be everywhere. It's like, where do these people all come from? Because they've all made New Year's resolutions to get in shape, lose weight, and so they come to the health club. And by the end of January, that crowd has faded quite a bit, and by Easter, they're gone. If you're one of them, I'm sorry, but that's true. It changes. So what happens is we start to set those goals, and they're good goals, and they're all right, and we need to do those things, but we just can't stick with it. But they are a good thing. We need to take time to think about life and what you would like to give to it in the new year and what you would like to get from it in the next year. A time to look at what we are pleased with in our day-to-day life and what you would like to change. And then readjust, as Brett said, our priorities. Take a look at what's really important in our life and maybe start to replan and reorganize so that we can fulfill some of those goals. As believers, there's usually the favorite something that we have, like maybe to pray more. We're going to pray more next year. We're going to study more. We're going to give more. We're going to serve more. And we're going to love better. Those are just favorites from Christians all over the world that maybe pick those things to do next year because they feel like they failed at those things in the current year or maybe just not have completed them the way they would like to. You know what, though? Just like the regular goals of losing weight or stopping smoking or whatever it may be, Christians break those too. And they go strong for a while, and then pretty soon they're not praying every day, maybe every other day, and they're not reading the Bible every day, but maybe once a week, and things start to change and go back to what was normal for us before. So all this is about resolutions. And then a few weeks ago, I was looking for a video for today's service, and I came across this video that you just watched. And I just watched that two or three times, and I thought, you know what? That's an approach that I think would be well worth taking a deeper look at this morning. And so I've kind of used this video as an outline to what I want to talk about today, because it's true that God has ideas for us, wishes for us, promises for us. And so this morning, and amongst this world of chaos, this world of turmoil, I hope this morning that I can, instead of burdening you with more resolutions to break, I'd rather just talk about what God has promised to do for us. Because you know what? God doesn't break his promises. So before we start into that, would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, I just thank you so much again for this morning. I thank you for 2015 and Lord, all the things that are good that's happened in 2015, the lives that have been changed, the baptisms that we witnessed, the people that we have been able to help. Lord, but I also pray for a world that's in chaos because of their lack of knowledge or belief in Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Father, that as we start out a new year, that we will look at the things that you have told us that you will do for us, and those are promises that you will keep. And so I want to just think about those this morning, Lord, and just give you praise and glory as we leave here at the end of this year and be able to say thank you, Lord, for being such a great God to all of us. In your name I pray. Amen. So as we start to look at what God has promised us and to remember that He is the only one who is really in charge anyway. You see, we set all these New Year's resolutions, and we, even if they're good ones, but you know what? God is really in control of our life. We don't really have that much to do with it except follow Him and be obedient to Him. I like the passage in Proverbs 16:9 where it says, "In his heart a man plans his course." And that's pretty accurate, isn't it? We do. "But the Lord determines his steps." Did you hear that? "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Our steps, our life, everything we do, every breath we take, every person we talk to, everything we do is in the hands of God. And without Him, we can't do anything. So with that in mind, here's what God promises to do for each of us followers in 2016 and beyond. And it is some great news. If you're here this morning and you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, then this message is to you. If you're here this morning and that is a decision that you have not yet made, then my prayer for you during this time is for you to be praying that God will open your heart to that first and most important step of all in 2016, as it is in every year, to make sure that we are right with God. So God has resolved to, number one, to never leave you or forsake you. That's good news, right? He will never leave us or forsake us. In Hebrews 13:1-6, it says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said," here's the key part, "never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" When we have God on our side, then we have all we need. We think we need a whole lot more. But the bottom line is, when God is on your side, you have all that you need. And there's nothing that this world can do to change that. God is there, and He is there with you. We may lose everything we have, but we still have Jesus Christ. We may lose our health. We may lose our money. We may lose our possessions. We may lose a lot of things in life, but we will never lose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning as a believer, you can take that to the bank. And that is crucial for us as we look at the new year. Number two, He will guide you and direct you. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." You see, God is the one with a flashlight leading the way down a dark path. And if you follow Him, He will take you to the right places. But again, if we go astray and we want to go our own way, we get in trouble. See, God knows best. He knows where He wants us to be, so He knows the best way to get there. Where you want to be may not be where God wants you to be, so He may not be leading you the way you want to go, but He is leading you the way He wants you to go. It may not always be in that direction that we like. It may be uncomfortable for us to go in that direction. We may not be used to going in that direction, but God has a plan for your life. And He is leading you, and He is leading me. And if we follow, He will take us to the right place. The question for all of us is this morning, are we willing to let Him lead and guide our path? For some, that is really hard, isn't it? Because what do we have to do that? We have to give up control. And we like to be in control of our life. I hate to tell you, but we're not. No matter how much you think you are in control of your life, take a breath And that's a God-given gift. He is in control of your life all the time. Number three, to give you hope and to give you a future. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14 says this. Says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. You see, these are promises that God made to those people in that day, but it's also for us today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and I will find you when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You see, that was God's promise to those folks. But you know, I believe that's the promise for us today too, is that if we listen to the Lord and we trust Him, He definitely is taking care of our future. He gives us hope because of Him. As Pastor Rick spoke about the other night, that hope we have in our life only comes through Christ. There's a time, though, for waiting, and maybe that's the part of the year where, you know, you sit down now and you wait and you look at your life and you try to come up with things. What is God saying to you? Where is God leading you to? But if we don't ever take time to be quiet and listen to God, we'll never know. Because God is directing us. He is guiding us. He's giving us hope and He's giving us a future, but we've got to pay attention. Our future is guaranteed because of our relationship in God. And that's the only reason it's guaranteed. God has plans for us, and the plans are good. They're beautiful, and they're beneficial. We just need to trust Him. He has our future in His hands. Number four, it says that He will meet your needs according to His glorious riches. Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We don't always get everything we want. You probably found that out on Friday. Everything we want may not be good for us, or it may not be part of God's plan. We may want it, but maybe that's not what God wants. And so we need to be watching and listening and understanding what God wants for our life. Our life will not always be a bed of roses. You know, I say that, and I actually stopped writing and went to Google and I looked that up because I've never quite understood that saying, a bed of roses, because with roses there's thorns, right? And if you lay on those, that would have to hurt. But I did look it up, and sure enough, it is just what it says, that if, you know, a bed of roses is a life that's good, a good life. And so we may not, God doesn't always promise us that. I mean, you can look around, even in our congregation here, and there's many people who are suffering. They're sick, or they have diseases, or they have problems, and we all do. Every one of us have experienced that. But God does make some promises. But no matter what is going on in our lives, God is still in control, and He will meet our true needs. He will meet the things that we really need to live our life, not only in 2016, but every year after that. You see, God is a great God, and He gives us what we need, and we need to trust in that. Number five is, I will pick you up when you fall. How important is that? That's pretty important to all of us. 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. Jesus is the only answer for the sin problem that we have in this world today. We may think that it's going to change in the next election, but it's not. The world is still in need of Christ. And the only thing that will truly change our situation and our lives and in the world is Jesus Christ. He came to be born, to redeem us, and to save us from our sin. That's why he came, because he knew the condition we were in, and he knew the need that we had. Jesus is our representative of God. He's our advocate. He defends us at the Father's throne. And it's comforting to know that we have a God that loves us that much, that he takes our case and listens and forgives. I want to share a story I read the other day. I was talking about a pastor and his relationship with someone. He said, "I would like to become a Christian," an interested woman said while visiting her pastor. But she said, "I'm afraid I can't hold out. I'm sure to sin again." Turning to 1 John 1, the pastor said, "No doubt you will sin again, because God says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if you do sin, God will forgive you if you will confess your sin to him. But it isn't necessary for Christians to sin. As we walk in fellowship with God and in the obedience of his word, he gives us the ability to resist and to have victory over temptation. But we don't ever complete that. He tells us we will all sin and fall short of his glory, but he is there to help us with those temptations all the time." Then he goes on, he says, "Then the pastor remembered the woman had gone through surgery some months before. And when he said to her, 'When you had that surgery,' he asked, 'was there a possibility of complications or problems afterwards?' 'Oh, yes,' she replied. 'But whenever I had a problem, I went to see the doctor and he took care of it.' Then the truth hit her. 'I see it,' she explained. 'Christ is always available to keep me out of sin or to forgive my sin.'" God is there for us. He is there to help us. He is there to guide us. And most of all, he is there to pick us up when we fail. You notice he doesn't say that God will keep us from pain or keep us from suffering. He does never promise that. We will have trials and struggles and sickness and problems, even as Christians. And when you hear somebody promise that we won't have those things, you probably need to look a little deeper, because even Christians have those problems. But he does promise to be with us through those situations, through our sickness, through our trials, through those bad times in our life. He always promises to be there by our side and to pick us up. He promises that he will pick us up when we fail and when we fall. You see, we all fail. And when we sin, we all will sin. But the greatest news is that forgiveness is something that God has promised to all of his followers. So this morning, if you're here as a believer in him, when we sin, God will pick you up. He won't abandon you. He won't forget you. He will pick you up. Not just for the next few weeks, or maybe even for the next few months, but forever. Because God never fails. He is always there. And finally, he will finish the work he began in you. In Philippians 1, 3-6, Paul writes, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He's talking to the church at Philippi. "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership with me in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Paul was thinking about these Philippians because these people from Philippi, he loved them. They were really close to him. If you want to find out more about this account, you can turn to Acts 16 and you can look through that. And you see where Paul and Silas were wrongly accused and they were beaten and they were thrown into prison. But during that time is when he was able to present the gospel to that jailer in Philippi who gave his life to Christ. A good thing came out of that. So this church always supported Paul, and he was very thankful for their support. He was close. They were special to Paul. But back to the passage, Paul was reminding them, as he reminds us today, that if God has started a work in your life, and what I'm talking about is not like a work of some certain gift or talent, but it's talking about salvation. He has started that process in your life for salvation, and if so, he will continue it all the way through. And that's a promise, the greatest of all, that through him we find salvation, through Jesus Christ. So this work is salvation. God will continue to do it and continue to work in our life. The work God does for us is salvation. The work God does in us is sanctification. And the work God does through us is service. He uses every one of us to be his hands and feet throughout this world. So in conclusion this morning, I want to just look at one more passage, this passage from Numbers 23:19, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? As believers, we know the answer to these questions are no. We know that he speaks and that he acts and that he fulfills everything he speaks, because God does not lie. So as we end this year, 2015, as we look to 2016, let's do a few things ourselves, but then let's let God fulfill his promises in all of our lives. So as a final challenge to you, I challenge us to love more. Not just our family, but our friends, the people we don't know, the strangers that God places in our pathway. And how do we love them? We love them through action. We love them by the way we do things, by the way we serve them, by the way the actions that we take. It's a verb. We need to love people, all people. We need to serve more. You need to find places and opportunities for you to serve, not just here in the walls of this church. It might be out in the community, it might be across the ocean, but we all need to be looking for situations and ways in which we can serve God, ways in which we can use our gifts and our talents to serve God. We need to pray more. That's essential for all of us. We need to talk to God on a daily basis, on an all-day basis. You know, our prayers, we've talked about that, and we're going to continue that talk on prayer in the first of the year. But prayer is such a vital part of all of our lives, and we need to be faithful in that. We need to sacrifice more. We need to put other people's needs before our own. Others are more important than us. We need to sacrifice and use Christ as the example, because that's what he did. He sacrificed for all of us. We need to trust more, because we have to have trust in God. He has showed us how faithful he is. There is no reason why we shouldn't trust him. There's no reason why we shouldn't let him guide our path and lead our way. He has proven his faith and his faithfulness to us. And then we need to dream big. We can do all things through Christ. Not through our own works, not through ourselves, but through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. So don't limit God to this small dream. Think big. God's a big God. He can do a lot with you if you're willing to let him. He can make a big difference in your life if you're willing to give him your life and give him all of your life, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, but every day of the week, 24/7. But at the end of the day, it's important for all of us to let God do what only God can do. Let him be God in our lives. Let him fulfill his promise for each of us, and let us just trust and obey. Would you bow with me? Father, I just thank you for your words, for your passages, for your scripture. I pray, Lord God, that we won't just read it, but that we will live it. Lord God, we realize here this morning that our only way for peace and hope, joy and love, is through you. You came, and we just celebrated your birth. But Lord, we celebrate that birth every day. Every day of the year, we should celebrate your birth. Because through your birth came your death, and your resurrection and our hope for salvation. So, Lord God, today I pray that if there's anyone here that has never made that confession of faith, that has never said, yes, I believe that you are God, that you are Christ, that you came and lived and died for us, and that only through you we can have life. If you've never said that, if you've never believed that, if you've never taken that into your heart, I pray that this morning you don't let this time pass without making that decision. Because, Lord God, no matter what we plan for 2016, it needs to start there. And if it does start there, you will take care of the rest. Just help us to focus on how much you love us and what you've promised to do for us. And let this year be a year of excitement for you, an excitement for the church. Let us make a difference, Lord God, in this community. Let us make a difference in amongst each other. And let us love more and serve more and pray more. Lord, just help us to be what you've called us to be. Don't let this New Year's pass without making some of these adjustments in our life so that we can start this year out the way you would like us to. In your name I pray.